Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Afternoon, all.
Hello, Egg Chasers. Welcome to Podcast Live. And firstly, thank you to Podcast Live for organising this. I can say with absolute certainty, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, Phil, knowing that there are going to be no sound issues with this particular episode, such a relief.
JB, is your phone off?
Oh, yeah, no, it's not. I've got all my notes on it. No, it's very much on.
Let me introduce to you, because we do have listeners of other podcasts, so let me introduce my teammates. I'm Tim, and let me introduce first the sire of stats, the father of fact-based argument, the master of Excel macros, Phil Argan.
Hello.
And in the middle, where he insists on being, the Commodore of Contrary, the Baron of Twitter Beef, the Archdeacon of Downfall, Jonathan Beerbohr.
Thank you, Timothy. Thank you.
And I want to apologise for ruining the aesthetic. When you look at my well turned out colleagues here, I left my suit bag in Manchester when I came down to London yesterday. So I look like, I don't know, what do I look like?
Cowboy.
I'd say a Premier Sport pitchside presenter.
I reckon Craig Doyle. He gets
Craig,
away.
No, Craig, if Craig Doyle wore that, it'd be ultimately very, very cool. What happened, Tim? You left your suit in Manchester.
Yeah, I did. I only realised when I got on the train. So anyway, thanks for coming as you are. Now, I thought, again, for anyone that doesn't know Egg Chasers, or I think people that do, and thank you for coming, would appreciate this review of the show from Rugby Inside Line on Twitter, who said, Egg Chasers, you have the one obsessed with power and who hates the BBC. a cooler media lovey type and a mature one who speaks very slowly. Egg Chasers is... Egg Chasers is... Rugby Top Gear. Which maybe it's just as well we don't have a producer.
Yeah.
So we're going to cover a lot of ground on this podcast, but let's start with last night then. What did we learn from last night in England's final warm-up game?
From that game? Probably not that much.
Well, I learned something. Okay, so it's not really rugby-based, but you know, we'll go with it anyway. Do you think that Twickenham is integral to the whole England experience? Because I was thinking about last night's
It wasn't
game.
At Twickenham. No one mentioned last night that it was in Newcastle.
No one mentioned
that. Hardly formed any part of commentary.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of some of the... I'll go with Dulles, right? The dullest England games in recent memory probably been Old Trafford with Argentina. It's probably been Etihad.
Uruguay.
No. Oh, that was the Etihad.
You're talking 2005, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So the three times they've been away, but within England, so home within England, but not at home, they've had that one, they've had the Etihad, and then they've had Newcastle. And quite frankly, it was quieter in Newcastle than it is today in the Twickenham stands.
What do you think, Phil?
Definitely as a fan, there's something special about coming down to Twickenham, especially for a northern boy. So it's, I don't know, I always like coming down here for a big England game.
Well, it's like the whole thing, isn't it? It's the nightmare of the train. You know, it's the awful overground. It's then walking the 3 miles from the station to the stadium through a housing estate. It all adds to, like, the ambience. Like, and I really like it. I really like it.
I think drawing conclusions from that performance yesterday.
Maybe hold it further up the microphone, Phil.
Sorry.
Hold it nearer the top rather than on the wire. There you go.
There you go.
You can see I'm not used to this. Yeah. drawing any conclusions from that game would be pretty limited. Now, there's some disappointing things and there were some positive things. from England side, some of the positive things, some of the individual performances were very, very good. Mark Wilson, particularly.
Sales Mark Wilson. You can thank Steve Diamond for the England back row now.
I thought he was brilliant. His work effort was sensational.
That's what we do there.
Johnny May as well was brilliant. And Marchant, I thought, was amazing.
Johnny May was outstanding, actually.
Johnny May was, considering how little ball, particularly in that first half, England actually had. They were struggling to put two or three phases together. And you could tell that with the first of all, the scoreline at half-time and the performance leading into that, the crowd booing, or at least there was some quiet boos, when they opted to go for 3 points just before half-time.
But this sort of leads to my original point when we started the podcast, which is when England go away, they try and make it all like carnival atmosphere and whatnot. And frankly, when we go to test match, you don't want a carnival atmosphere. You want a full-blooded test. So when they went to Uruguay, they were doing all the fast line-outs. And it's not Uruguay. So when they played Uruguay, they're doing all the fast line-outs and so on and so forth. And I think the way they marketed it to the Newcastle market, that's exactly what they expected. So when they went out and kicked, you think, well, hang on, what's this about?
I just think that it was only at half-time that someone pointed out that it wasn't a training game because it looks like they were wearing training kit.
Yes, what was the kit like about? It was dreadful.
A couple of things I learned. We got a couple of absolute heroes in Ellis Genge and Carl Sinclair. That is a WWE tag team.
Or a
cop duo for a movie that just needs to happen.
Yeah, but
at
it's
some
like
point.
Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
The name of the film.
Yeah, Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
I like it. They're just 21st century rugby players in a lot of ways. Carl Sinclair's like, so I think Fairy Liquid should have him for an endorsement. His hands are that soft.
Ooh.
And Ellis Genge afterwards chatting to Will Greenwood, who we'll hear from later. It was brilliant. I loved him. Go well in Japan. Yeah, mate. Safe. I love it.
Never change.
And does it feel like England are trying to win some hearts and minds? Because the last few games, giving shirts out.
Do you want your rugby players to be winning hearts and minds? I mean, genuinely, do you not just want them to be smashing other people? Well, and winning ball and winning games and destroying scrums and demoralising people.
So winning hearts and minds doesn't take away from Ellis Genge's ability to do
it. It isn't the Vietnam War.
Tough stuff. You can do both. And those boys in particular have shown they can do both. I thought it was an interesting. There was some indication in the papers this morning that change after whatever it was, 32, 35 minutes, was pre-planned. I'm not so sure.
I don't know.
It's an interesting one.
I mean, if you've got that much talent on the bench, why would you not?
What, pre-plan it after 32 minutes?
Oh, 32 minutes. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Okay, fine.
All right, here's one. Jonathan Joseph and Joe Marchant are the same person.
Changed my mind. I completely agree with that. I completely agree.
I think we could do like with the Curry twins. You could just
1A,
swap
1B.
Them at half-time. No one would know.
The weird thing is, have you seen Jonathan Joseph's brother? Jonathan Joseph's
the
got
younger,
brother
younger Joseph.
At, I think, London Irish, and it looks identical to Jonathan Joseph. So there's actually three of them.
Well, that
right. Well, sorry, go on, Phil.
I was just going to say that Marchant putting his hand up in that performance, because we've not yet seen Henry Slade.
Nope.
Tuilagi, we know his injury history, although he seems to be on form. And Jonathan Joseph hasn't been fit since the first or second game. So there is a real potential that Marchant could have played himself into a spot at some point.
Right, very briefly, let's pick England's 10, 12, 13 for the game against Tonga, because I think this is interesting.
I'll start with nine. Willie Hines. I think Willie Hines, and you've got to give... Man of the match, Ben Youngs. Let's talk about that later. I mean, when has three box kicks earned you man of the match? So... Credit to Eddie Jones. I mean, who would have been brave enough to pick up Willie Hines? But he's done the right thing. And I think Willie Hines, just looking at the body of work they've done for the last 4 weeks, or four games, I should say, looks really, really good. If I was playing a game tomorrow with my house on the line, I'd go with Willie Hines. So Willie Hines, nine.
So you go Hines, and then you'd...
Ford.
Well, short of being able for you to bring in Sippers.
Can't bring in Sippers. Ford, I think Ford's been absolutely brilliant. And I don't think Farrell did himself any favours last night.
So I think Farrell's first half was probably the worst I've seen him.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I thought he had a really, really bad game.
Well, hang on.
He corrected it in the second half, I thought. England got the go-forward ball from partly from Genge and Sinks. And once he got that front football, he had a bit more opportunity. But in the first half, he kept trying this double pump. So looked to go for a wide pass and then opt for a short pass. Mm. And it worked really well for the Anthony Watson try. It worked perfectly for them, but he must have tried it half a dozen times prior to that.
Hey.
And the team around him weren't coordinated with him.
Johnny Sexton has a telegraph runaround. He doesn't stop doing it. I say, oh, I'll carry on. Keep going. Now, very briefly, let's just touch on Italy. Because I look at them and I feel really sorry for them because they're going to the World Cup. It's basically like they're on death row and they just want to die with a bit of dignity. They're every other pool, there's legitimately three sides can get out of the pool, except for Italy, who haven't beaten a Tier 1 team since before the 2015 World Cup.
Is that right?
No, yeah. That's not, because they beat South Africa. When was that?
Where's Ian Robinson? Can you just leave your notes? Ian, can you please do his notes?
2017, thank you.
Thank you, Nick Heath. I stand corrected. Damn it.
I think your broader point about their pool.
Yeah, your broader point is correct.
Because while they might have beaten South Africa a couple of years ago, the South Africa at that stage was totally, totally different. That was a team in flux. You've now got a team in South Africa that are very much on the up and up. They've got multiple options in every single position. I mean, they're second.
They've got multiple South Africans in most World Cup teams, particularly in the second row.
That's a very, very good point.
Yeah, so I cannot see them getting even marginally close to either South Africa or New Zealand.
So just a few things on Italy, right?
Not a few things. We've got a lot of ground to cover.
Right. Okay. Number one, I thought Jaden Hayward was pretty good. I thought he was quite direct. And here's a controversial one, which I know I'm wrong on, but I'm going to go with it anyway.
The most JB thing JB has ever said.
I like their back row without Sergio Parisi. There you go. Said it.
Ooh, I'm not sure about
but
that.
Every time you write him off, he comes back stronger. Yeah. So I just don't know.
And being as they're not going to qualify from their pool, just look good while you do it. Yeah. Get Sergio in.
On the other hand, right, the man's played 120 times and has got one of the world's worst losing records. So maybe you do go a different way.
So I was watching that thinking, there was a number of times, particularly in the first half, that Italy got great territory, great field position. And they needed someone to break the gain line. Mm. And they needed someone like Pelledri, someone like Parise or Campagnaro, who could have offered that gain line break. And with back rows, so Parise is not the physical force that he once was. He's not as athletic and dynamic as he once was. But with a back row that has got Jake Pelledri in it, Parise doesn't necessarily need that. He needs his experience. He needs his link play between the backs and his forwards. So I think you definitely still have
it. But is it not like the old Manchester United thing, which is when you get rid of your best player, everyone else plays a little bit better? Do you not think when he's on the pitch, he's a bit of a crutch? He's like, oh, well, you know, Parise might do it.
No.
99th time round.
Well, that's Italy. We'll come back because this week, Scotland and Ireland announced their squads. So we'll get into that in a minute. However, a brief light-hearted interlude in the meantime. I've prepared a little game called... And JB was trying this morning frantically to think of, for anyone who remembers the classic game Springbok or Nazi War Criminal. JB was desperately trying to think of a game involving Robert Mugabe, weren't you?
Yeah. The best we came up with is Mugabe Thug or ex-Zimbabwe International. But actually, there's a lot of crossover, so, you know...
The game I have prepared is called Rugby Star or Adult Movie Star. So very, very simply, I'll give you a really easy one. For example, I'll give you a name. You tell me whether you think it's a rugby star or an adult movie star.
Do we need to really analyse this? Or
Dead easy first one, just to, as an example, Andrew Blowers.
Andrew Blowers. Oh, okay, yeah. Rugby star.
Yeah.
Rugby.
Ex-New Zealand and international.
Was he not? Correct. Northampton?
Northampton, yeah. Okay, first one. Sean Longstaff. Does... Sean Longstaff like to ruck, or does Sean Longstaff like to fix housewives' broken washing machines and accept all forms of payment?
Sean Longstaff. That's too easy. Sean Longstaff must be a rugby player. You're not going to give me Sean.
Yeah, give me rugby.
You may as well say Eve Dongy. Oh, Eve Dongy's next, right?
Correct. Scotland winger between 98 and 2000. Yeah. Born in New Zealand. He was a project player before project players were cool. Although I probably had
Well, depends.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, if he, okay. No, I don't know. He probably had a grandparent or whatever. Anyway, next one. Hugo Horn?
Hugo Horn.
Would you find Hugo Horn on the flank or having a poorly scripted conversation whilst delivering a pizza?
I'm going to say, I don't know about you, Phil, I think Hugo Horn is the third and less talented Horn brother for Scotland. There is two Horns, yeah?
George and Peter.
Yes.
So you going for rugby, Phil?
Rugby. Give me rugby.
Yes. Rugby, correct. Too Hugo easy. Horn, a hooker. I should say rugby player. Rugby player. For Namibia for 15 years. Played in all the games in the 99 and 2007 World Cup.
I can't wait to see your Google search history.
He was also selected for the 03 World Cup, but pulled out due to financial reasons. So again, doing Ronaldo Bothma things before that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Next one. Hung Dong Ho. Would Hung Dong Ho prefer a pair of all black locks or a pair of all black satin bed sheets?
Hung Dong Ho. What?
Good game's a quick game.
Okay, well, you've got two rugby players. I don't move your stop.
I'm going to stick with rugby.
It is rugby player.
God's sakes.
And finally...
Any more info on Hung Dong Ho?
South Korean international rugby player. That's all I've got.
How many caps, Tim? Do you have particularly fond memories of watching Hung Dong, whatever his name is?
Final one, as Phil is in a 2-1 lead. Girth Miller.
If that's not a South African centre, that is a South African centre.
Does Girth Miller love it in the scrum or love it in a low-budget, white, clean studio set?
I'm going for the full house rugby again.
Yeah, rugby centre, South Africa.
Hooker for Scotland.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Debut in 1953 in a game against Ireland.
1953?
Yeah. The fly half for Scotland in that game as well, when I was looking at this, Logie Bruce Lockhart, which is a challenger for Blair Kinghorn for the most Scottish name
wow.
ever.
Beautiful.
Love it. Yeah, they were all rugby players. I engineered the game that way because I've never seen an adult film myself. And I wouldn't sully my internet browsing history
exactly
to try and find one.
Right.
Right, Scotland and Ireland squads announced. What did you take out of that?
You were devastated about the Scotland squad,
weren't
you?
Yeah, I was pretty upset. I think Scotland made a massive error in not taking Byron McGuigan, but you know, you live, you learn. And also,
I love it. Didn't even need to ring your bell. Ding. Ding.
I also thought Josh Strauss could have done a job, but you know, again, they'll pay for that in the World Cup. On a serious note, I think Scotland looked really, really good. I think this is probably one of the best Scotland teams that's ever gone to any World Cup, actually, particularly in the modern period. I'm pretty positive about the chances.
I think it's a good squad. I think the debate was really around the centre position. I am surprised that Duncan Taylor's come in and made the squad, just given that I've seen so little of him in the past couple of years. Yeah. I know he's had a lot of injuries, and we've spoken in the past, and everyone's spoken about... Gatland spoke this week about the importance of robustness in your squad and picking players that are going to last potentially seven games. So I'm surprised that Duncan Taylor, he's a quality operator when he is fully fit.
His is a good story as well as a comeback. And no surprise to see, by the way, Warren Gatland said that, and Eddie Jones is going, no, I don't need my props till the fourth game in the fourth match. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that is an interesting decision that was mentioned before by the Under the Sticks boys. If there is an injury or a suspension in the first couple of games, what the hell did he do then?
Exactly. I would say, just regarding the Scotland squad, I mean, you know, maybe their package is slightly underpowered, but actually, the debate around them is not so much what's their first 15 look like, because it's great. The debate is what happens if something happens to Finn Russell, because he is basically key to everything which they're going to do, and he's probably the best fly half in the home nations at the moment. He's certainly the most creative.
Yeah, well, you say he's most creative, but I actually think this is where coming back to the centres, where I would have liked to have seen Rory Hutchinson. Hugh Jones missed out, not because he was not selected, but because he was not deemed robust, fit enough. Had couldn't prove his fitness to the extent that was needed. But Rory Hutchinson, if a team does pin down Finn Russell and make things tough for him, get the back row right on him, then actually having a creative outlet. And I just look at the centres and think, are they creative enough?
Well, Peter Horn can do that role, and you can have a second playmaker there. But I like Hastings. I think Adam Hastings coming into that role, he's getting more and more experience, and he can be really creative. He can do things that few fly halves other than Finn Russell can do.
Yeah, Finn Russell can do things that no one else, literally no one else, can do. I mean, you don't see that draw against England at at Twickenham if Finn Russell doesn't play. So, you know, you can pin him down for 50, 60 minutes, but you've got to do it for 80.
Ireland. So no
controversy here, was there? It's just a straightforward selection.
Well, I mean, I do love it that it was... What did Ireland think was going to happen when they told all the players what the squad was about six days ahead of when they wanted to announce the squad?
Yeah, so they told the players on the Sunday, hoping not to release the squad then for a further week. But of course, the players tell their friends and family.
Their
friends and family tell their friends and family before you know it.
The people that are selected, you would imagine, would go, look, seriously, I'm in the World Cup squad. I'm so happy. But seriously, we can't tell anyone. You might ruin this for me. Don't say anything. But Mrs. Toner.
Yeah. It's a tough one. I mean, I'm not that interested in all the eligibility stuff because ultimately it's a business and you pick who you pick and you pick the team that you want to win. I would question, everyone says he's so Irish. If he's that Irish, why is he named after an English county? The other thing that I'd mention, right, is just...
Dyslexia at play there.
Thank you. There's lots of layers in that joke. The other thing which I'd mention, right, just from a rugby playing point of view, is when you've watched Ireland twice now against England, let's be honest, they've been beaten up fairly badly. And the guy that doesn't really get beaten up ever, I mean, you know, there's people much more into Irish rugby here than I who might correct me, but it's Devon Toner. And also...
Well, a little fact, he is the, of everyone that Joe Schmidt has picked since 2013, I think he took over as coach, he's the player that's been used more than any other by Joe Schmidt.
And for good reason, too. So I actually think that they've made a mistake in that regard, but also from a line-out point of view. Let's face
Can I just check? I should just check all facts now. Was that fact correct, Nick Keith? It was good. Thank you.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah.
Ah.
And if you hear some of the commentary, so some of the stuff coming out of the Irish camp, Schmidt had press conferences earlier this week, and he referenced obviously not only the games but all of the training that they've been looking at and analysing, and that has been mentioned a few times that he just wasn't recording the numbers that he previously has been doing.
Can I just highlight the calibre of the people that are here? That same gentleman that's just filled in the information there around Devon Toner also was the person who filled us in on exactly what happened in Portugal with Leicester Tigers.
Oh, really? Can you
so
he's the mic?
Obviously in the know. That guy knows things. Go and catch him at the bar.
Oh, excellent.
I don't particularly want to get into the project player thing. All I will say is...
You love it.
Come on, give us 15 minutes. A quick 15.
All I would say is, I put out something... for example, you tweet... Oh, I mean, it's Twitter, isn't it? But my thoughts have been consistent across any country. I don't like the grandparent rule, but fine, I'll go with it. I hated the three-year residency. I hate it. I'm glad it's changing. I actually think in this regard, football is actually showing the way, international football, how it should be. And I don't like it. But if I was Joe Schmidt, I'd do the same. If I was John Clay, I'd do the same.
You drops to win games.
Yeah.
That's it.
And for everything you see and read and hear that comes from Joe Schmidt, there nothing makes me question just how much he wants to win. He would do... whatever he thinks is best for that squad. Yeah. So there's no issues for me.
The real worry for me is Ireland's lineout. And I think Devon Toner helps out Rory Best an enormous amount. And Rory Best is a man that needs a lot of help. So, I just don't think it's a smart rugby decision.
We will see. Right. What time are we on? Okay. Oh, I've got something very exciting coming up for you very soon. However, quick question. Who should take a 6 to 8 week holiday in Japan? In a Stephen Donald-esque way, like a Geography 6 type way.
If they're not supervised, not Leicester Tigers, that would be.
Well, we've already said Joe Marchant. We don't. He doesn't need to go on holiday there. He can just be part of the camp and just be the interchangeable.
Are you allowed to do
Jonathan
that?
Joseph B.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
No. He can just be like we can get Ben Curry there and Joe Marchant there.
Oh, I see. Yes, you can do that. No, because Wales did it last year. Not last year, last World Cup. And I'm pretty sure that they got told not to.
Ben Moon would be one.
Ben Moon, yes. Well, both of the Exeter props, Ben Moon and Harry Williams, both unlucky. Because Mako is unavailable most likely until at least the third game, which means that you've got... the other two props who are definitely, the other two loose heads are definitely playing both the first two games. The two tight heads are definitely playing both the first two games. So it doesn't to me seem like the best preparation. Now, there's an interesting thing with the rules around the World Cup. So you can bring in a replacement player for injury or compassionate reasons, but the player that they replace leaves the squad permanently. Hmm. So let's say Marla or Genj go down injured or even suspended, they've got to bring in a replacement for that player or potentially another player, but that player that leaves the squad permanently.
Even for suspension? Because you said compassion or injury.
Yeah, but you can't bring in a player. Oh. You can't bring a player into the squad
just for
suspension.
And you have to be able to field the number of replacement props.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So in England, have forfeit props.
The question, I mean, I guess it's like for like, because Eddie has a certain way he's going to play. I don't think he's going to change that. So I think Ben Teo should go on holiday, because if anything happens to Manu...
I still think I'm still standing by the fact that the peak Teo horn may get blown before the World Cup is out. Don't
no.
you worry.
Yeah.
Someone else.
I am not having that.
Someone else. Paloma Faith, just in case they do realise they do need someone to shriek world in union, maybe.
Oh, please.
A shadow French team, because they're likely to implode as well. So just the whole second French team.
Anyone of French nationality should be anywhere near Southeast Asia should be on standby at all times. There's a couple of... not taking a holiday there. There's a couple of World Cup winning fly halves playing in playing in Japan at the moment. Dan Carter and Stephen Donald.
Stephen Donald's still going.
Are both available, potentially available at very short notice.
Good, 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 good. Now, we're here at Twickenham in the newly renovated East Stand. We'd heard about budget issues at RFU, but no sign of it here, which is great.
It's pretty good, doesn't it?
And we're here. I mean, if you listen to our podcast, you'll know that when there was talk about the RFU budget cuts, there was a scandal around the RFU
councillors.
Councillors, yes, councillors.
Who voted to have stringent cuts all across the board except for their own expense budget.
Because
at which point, JB's got very, very excited when he learned about the expense accounts of those people.
Yes. So, the situation with the RFU Council is you can get yourself voted on, which is great, because I don't think anyone's actually trying to win any votes. And once you're on, you get about 30 grand's worth of expenses. So I actually genuinely think that I can spend their money better than they can. So that is the basis of what I hope to do, which is get elected to the RFU Council. Maybe this year, maybe next year.
So, and this is where your campaign begins.
Hang on, I don't need to think of details, do I?
JB 2020. This is the whole big event. You've
I don't have any details.
You've known about this for months. Come on.
Okay, fine. Put on my video, please.
Arms in the air. Fields where we used to play. Hoodies. Knives. Thugs. Season tickets no one can afford. Salary cap rates. Clickbait. Fake news. You're afraid. A lot of people are afraid. But maybe there's another way. Hi, I'm JB, and this is JB 2020. Let's take back control of the game that we love. Let's replace their committees with our committees. Let's not look back. Let's not repeat the mistakes that have brought us so much pain. No, we need to go forward with fresh thinkers, men with vision. We need to go off our shores and reclaim the talent that is rightfully ours. And then I will go around every club, every grassroots organisation, from under nines to second team to veterans, and we'll find all the ingredients that make English rugby great, that make English rugby work. Because I know, when we get the right ingredients, the right homegrown talents, like him. Or him. Or him. The results will be spectacular. So vote JB 2020 for honesty, integrity, accountability.
Straightforward.
So what platform are you standing on?
That one. Everything in that video. I mean, there's some key tenets to my campaign. I want to mandate dogs at rugby clubs. I want to eliminate the knock-on. I probably would increase expenditure on us. There are a few things. I would probably limit the amount of time that you need to be in a country to become an international player. So yeah, a fair few things.
Boots with full kit. Always, even in 100%. Promotional shots.
100%.
Did you see Scotland's team kit with trainers, no boots? They're doomed as a result.
It's over.
Yeah, and just to prove that point, it was shown to us a picture of England before the 2003 World Cup, and their team picture, they had full boots, all jet black boots, and they won the World Cup. And New Zealand 2015, they all had those matte black boots in their shot. So these things matter, so hopefully that's going to be part of your... What about media rooms at rugby clubs? Got anything to say about that?
Not on air.
So there you go, the launch of JB 2020 we've had here.
Oh, by the way, as we are on media rooms in rugby clubs, who was the guy that selected Stephen? Because there was one guy. Who was the guy that selected Stephen Jones as their preferred podcast? Where is he? If you come forward, I'll buy you a beer.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, okay. So there is one member of the Rugby Dungeon where we do our podcast in JB's basement flat every week. There is one, not member of the team, I'll call it that, that isn't here, and that's the whiteboard. For anyone that's not familiar, the whiteboard was became a necessary item to have just so we could document JB's statements and predictions so we couldn't roll back on them and argue black with white.
Tell you what, it's such a shame about Marcus Smith's long-term injury.
Isn't it?
Well, I was actually, on that, I was thinking, when Devin Toner... didn't make the squad.
The most important player for Ireland.
Well, yeah.
That's what I said.
Six months ago, you said he is the single most important player for Ireland.
Agreed.
So that goes down in history of your cursing players and coaches.
He's got a bad ankle. Nothing we can do about
Marcus Smith, Danny Cipriani, Mathieu Bastereau. You said Dean Ryan was going to be the next coach of England.
Well, yeah.
He did.
Well, that was not based on merit, I might add. That was based on world-class politicking. And I thought if he stayed in position long enough and Eddie Jones failed, that would work.
So maybe here we go. We've got teams flying out to Japan for the World Cup starting this weekend. So let's get some whiteboard predictions up there on the board. We'll write them on as soon as we get back to Manchester. So World Cup winners. Phil, we already know JB picked France. Sticking by that, JB?
France South Africa final.
Okay.
Okay. I am going to be dreadfully, dreadfully boring.
No.
And so, even though their preparation for this World Cup has, by some, been called inadequate or inferior compared to their last two World Cups. New Zealand. I can't see past New Zealand. Mm. I think someone who is absolutely key to the way that they play, personnel and strategy, who's back fit in their 92-7 victory, although he got taken off for the last 15 minutes, is Ryan Crotty. And Ryan Crotty, he is such an all-round talented player. He's so so like unspectacular but so brilliant. And he's so important for that team because you don't need to play around with Beauden Barrett at 15 when Ryan Crotty's at 12. He allows you to play your best player in every position. He allows Beauden to go to 10, he allows Ben Smith to go onto the wing, and he just makes that whole team, whole squad tick.
I was 50-50 between New Zealand and South Africa, but seeing that picture of all the South African boys with their tops off just looking ridiculous, that swayed it in that direction for me. Who thought Kobus Reinach would be that massive?
Not me.
I mean, I hope the Japanese butchers are aware of how much meat they're going to have to provide for that squad. So I'm going for South Africa. Their squad depth, as I say, they've got about a team's worth of players.
Just the thing on South Africa, everyone says that they're peaking. I couldn't disagree more. They're not.
What, you think there's more to come?
A lot more. I mean, this team's getting better and better. We have no idea how good this team could be. What, was it 18 months ago? They were pretty much a joke. And now they're probably joint World Cup favourites. And I think they're going to get better as the tournament progresses. So they either win or lose against New Zealand.
First game.
Yep, they've then got a bunch more warm-up games, and then they're into the tournament proper. They are going to be an absolute nightmare.
There's a lot of guys in their squad that haven't been to the summit, unlike New Zealand. That's the one little caveat. Okay, so which Tier 1 team or teams will do in England 2015 and not get out of the pool?
Oh, I know this one.
Because one of them is going to be Argentina, France or England.
Potentially.
I think Argentina.
Yeah.
In that pool.
So that if we're talking about Tier 1 definition as rugby championship or Six Nations, you've got three Tier 1 nations in that pool. The other one being the South Africa, New Zealand and Italy, but everyone knows what's happening in that pool. So there is going to be one of those teams leaving the tournament.
Yeah, I know. That was the whole point of my question. I asked you which.
But it's not really an upset because you have got three Tier 1 nations. So if Argentina or France do go home, if England go home, it would be a bit of an upset. It wouldn't necessarily surprise me that much.
Again, I asked you to say which.
Which one?
Give me France.
Wow, okay.
Ridiculous. So it's the same group. It's going to be, well, as France are in the final, it can't be them. So it leaves England and Argentina. Now, I've been sceptical of England before, but they do seem to be coming into the right sort of form. The problem I have with England is they are basically a one-trick pony, but it's an amazing trick. It's a toss-up between England and Argentina.
Okay, right. I'll say Argentina.
I'll go England.
Okay, of course you will. That's so fine.
England to do in England.
And in terms of the other pools, then?
Yeah,
there's two other pools.
Fiji are probably going out of Wales and Australia's pool.
Yep.
But there's a chance they might not.
Most likely.
Most likely. Yeah. And then Scotland are susceptible, particularly after their team kit with trainers, no boots. They're susceptible to being downed by Japan.
They are an injury away from becoming an average team. And then they've got to play Japan in a home World Cup. I mean, they could well be vulnerable.
Do you think they will? I don't think they will. I think they'll win. No.
Well, I think Byron, no Strelsy. Don't know.
I think Scotland will have enough. But I really, every time I've watched Japan recently, from England last year to seeing them in Fiji and their games against Tonga and Samoa Pacific Nations Cup, they are a bloody good team. They're well drilled. Their set piece is good enough, considering they're not the biggest team. But their defense and their attack. I mean, they totally suffocated the brilliant Fijian attack, and they were so clinical when they got their opportunities.
Would you say that they are that Japan are the best of the so-called tier twos?
Yes, yeah, because that game earlier on in the year was almost the decider for the best of the rest, the best of the tier twos, and Japan won that fairly comfortably. So they are a good team.
They are.
And one final question then, prediction for the whiteboard. Who will be player of the tournament? I think someone you mentioned earlier is primed to potentially be it. Johnny May. I genuinely think could be
Johnny
player
May
of the tournament.
Is a great. Well,
I can't believe what's happened to this guy over the last couple of years. He's truly world class now.
And it's the turnaround from being
a flanker,
world class blindside flanker. The turnaround from being a little bit shaky under the high ball, maybe a little bit of a headless chicken defensively, positionally, to possibly, well, certainly this weekend he was the best man under the high ball in the Six Nations. He was brilliant under the high ball. That turnaround is remarkable, yeah. And he's always had the pace to burn, and his work rate, he's constantly looking for work. So it's a good shout, but it you can't pick a player of the tournament who's not going to the final. And the two most likely teams to go to the final for me are the teams that we've predictably and boringly picked, Tim. South Africa and New Zealand.
So Cheslin Kolbe or Faf de Klerk, perhaps?
Maybe.
Faf could be. Faf is the kind of guy that can win a game. He can win a game in a second, or he can throw two-man miss pass straight into touch.
Yeah, every third pass. But the two in between are great.
Those two could be brilliant.
Your boy Ryan Crotty, maybe?
Crotty's a good one. Sia Khaleesi could captain a World Cup.
Yeah, that's
team.
A great shout.
I do love as well... Ardie Surveyor, I think, could be one of the
boys. And also, he looks good on highlights, too.
The thin slicing, yeah.
Yeah, so the guy that I quite like, and maybe he might not get to the final, but I expect him to progress through to the knockout, is Corabetti. I think his highlights will be absolutely astounding, and he's an absolute specimen.
All right, so there is a roving microphone. I would love to hear from you when you're out there. Just one, I want to ask the person, and you know who you are. Who's the person that I met outside the stadium earlier this morning? Where I come on up a second. Now, oh no, I'll wait. I'll let him tell you.
This is interesting. Come on, what's going on here, Tim?
So I met a guy outside on the street. Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Roberto Bode.
And you've come from?
I came from Chicago. I don't have many people to talk with rugby about, and I fell in love with rugby during law school. So I was always putting it on my iPad and just started watching it. And then I was like, I don't have anyone to talk to, so I downloaded their podcast. And I'm like, this podcast is awesome.
And good call, Tim.
No, I'm serious. No, look, there's many times I wind up choking on my protein cookies at the gym because I start laughing at something that's been said or I mess up on a set. It's great. I love it. So that's all I want to say.
Hey, did you go to the Ireland All Blacks game and also the USA All Blacks game last time? Because loads of rugby played in Chicago.
Yes, exactly. I went to the last one. To the last one because the one before that I wasn't there. I was in Dallas. Before.
It's all right, humble brag.
Well, listen.
That's why holiday plans.
Come on up because we've got these for you for coming so far.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Thank good you. Man, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
AkumaShops.com/eggchasers.
Good work, mate. Good work. What, you want a live read?
So, the roving mic, so whack your hand up if you want to say something. Oh, go on, there's someone at the front straight away. Go on.
So, I think you've spoken a lot about England being one-dimensional over the last...
Yeah.
Four, 5 years? No. I'm asking this to all three of you. If you think that maybe they've developed a plan B or maybe even a plan C maybe since the Six Nations or whatever, what might they be?
Yeah, well, I think we've seen it. And I don't think it's that Eddie Jones has gone, I don't know what to do, maybe I'll go back to Ford Farrell. I think it's that George Ford has been so good that he's demanded that is now back on the table. And as a result, I think there are different ways to play. So,
well, I think he might be forced into a different way to play. I think that's a slightly different thing there. I actually think that he's decided that he wants line breakers within the back line. That's why you get Cocknessinger. That's why you had Benteo. And that's why you've got Manu. I think when they get it right, it's absolutely awesome. And I think that's the way he would like to play. There is variety, but I don't think it's because he wants the variety. I think it's because his hand has been forced to take that variety on board.
So, yeah, I've said this before, but... I think I do believe they've got multiple ways of playing, both with the personnel and the game plan. So you can play the big ball carriers, either one of the forwards or Manu or Thaknasinger or anyone through the middle and play the crash rugby and then look for quick ball off that. They've got a very good kicking game when they use it with multiple options again. So if you've got Ford and Farrell in there, Elliot Daly's got an amazing boot. And Ben Young's, for some of the stuff he's done wrong, his kicking recently has been very good. And they've got the ability, more when Slade or Joseph plays in the 13 channel, they've got the ability to go wide early and then use the pace out wide. So I think they've got multiple different ways of playing. My concern previously, and this is something that Eddie Jones and Owen Farrell have both spoken about recently, my concerns have been they've not been able to adapt within the game. So they set up one game.
Yes.
The best and most obvious example of this was the Wales game in the Six Nations this year, where they went out with a strategy that was effective against Ireland, was very effective against France because Huger didn't know where to stand, and they kept playing it, and you had a back three. So this was the kicking strategy and a kick chase. Very simple strategy, very effective when you've done it well. But when Liam Williams was positioned under everything and catching everything and returning it with interest, you were just tiring out your own big forwards without the ball. And that lack of an ability to identify and change on the fly is something that has caught them out in the past, and I do worry a little bit about that going forward.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned the Wales game. Tim, can I change my player of the tournament to Dan Biggar?
Sure. I had it penciled in anyway.
Thank you.
Any more for any more? There we go. One here in the second row. Thank you. Best dressed listener today. Well done.
Before we go on, what is the tie?
That's Mumbles RFC.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. You mentioned South Africa have got room to grow. I think South Africa seemed to peak for Lions tours rather than World Cups. I know it's a year and a half away, but thoughts on South Africa?
You're wrong. Look at the stats. Is it every 12 years South Africa win a World Cup and we're due for the next one?
Oh, there you go. Well, so
they won it 12 years.
That's a question, I guess.
They won it 12 years. Or is it?
And every 12 years.
95, 2007,
95, 2000.
To be fair, it would make sense if every 12 years they peaked for a Lions tour as well.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
So I think you're absolutely right. I think they've got a great coach. I think they've got a great pool of players, and I think that they'll do very, very well.
Well, we'll get a microphone towards the back. Thank you for that. But I'll just ask you a quick question. A game you'd like turned into a film inspired by the fact Brighton Miracle, Japan beating South Africa in Brighton, has been turned into a film.
Of all the towns to base a rugby film, Brighton. Brighton's never seen hasn't seen a rugby game ever, I don't think.
That just adds to the mystique.
Warm.
And of all the amazing things that have happened in Brighton.
yeah. This is the film.
I'd pick the game at the Millennium Stadium, England-Wales in 2015. England got beaten 21-16, but I would like to see a farcical comedy where Kevin Hart plays DJ Spoonie doing that ridiculous laser show. Maybe Paul Rudd as Stuart Lancaster and... Jim Carrey playing James Haskell doing some comedy routine running into a post protector. I'd like to see that.
I would like to do some sort of Back to the Future thing with the Farrells, like Owen Farrell goes back, meets his dad, turns him into the current Farrell. That'd be quite good. 6-3 Bath Sale this season. That is easily translatable. There's lots of material there. You could use that. But ultimately, what would I really like to see? I would like to see when Wales beats England in Twickenham. I thought that was probably the best game that I've ever seen.
Okay, Phil? One of your own, maybe?
Any what, sorry?
One of your own games that you've been in, maybe?
not sure about that. There's one where mid-December at Liverpool St. Helens, where I got taken off after 60 minutes with frostbite. That was a pretty embarrassing one. Not sure that would be a film.
What about the time you played against Carlos Spencer and he put 120 points on you?
It did happen,
though, actually.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Northampton's record victory every time it gets mentioned on Sky is 97-3 victory against Sedgley Park.
Gentlemen at the back, I think we had a question waiting. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that... listen to you guys for quite a few years and always really appreciate that you're really consistent. I was talking to Phil earlier that not often you get two-way conversation. Nice. That really appreciate that every Monday morning you're there. When there's rugby off-season, you're always there. And I think it's really, 10 out of 10 to you guys.
Well, we're actually quite sad. We have nothing else to do.
No, it's right.
This is it. We live for this.
Unfortunately, our wives don't listen, but it's a fantastic way to just get out of the house on a Sunday evening for a couple of hours.
Yeah. And talk nonsense for a couple of hours.
You know, I said to Phil, we all buy our own products, be it, cars or washing machines, because they're consistent and you guys are really consistent. Well done.
That was exactly my kind of conversation.
So, my... My question to you is, you've been doing this for 4-5 years. What will the egg? What are your plans for the egg chasers for the next 5 years?
I can see in the near future a really acrimonious split. I can see myself going.
Have you seen the way we're sat? I think the seeds have been sown today, haven't they?
Yeah, I can see that. Tim,
God, I'm forever proud, really, really proud. I mean, JB was a financial advisor that I once I'd sort of stopped.
I still am, actually.
Well, he's too. He has, for someone who talks about rugby the way he does, he has a lot of integrity and morals in his financial advising. I sort of stopped trying to be good at rugby anymore and was dropping down the leagues, played for my local club, met JB, and then through JB met Phil. And I just remember, because I worked in radio, and I decided, right, I want to move away from the music radio and get into sport. Rugby's what I've always loved. I want to do that. And when we were sat around watching games, having a beer, and I just remember thinking, if I had a microphone now, I reckon this sounds like people in clubhouses.
Yeah, but in 5 years' time, I mean, probably in 5 years' time, you'll be a tax exile, right?
So I don't think beyond next Sunday, because it's still amazing to see people caring. And
yeah, that's a good point. Actually,
don't take that for granted, and really genuinely appreciate it. So. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't plan it, so we have no idea.
Yeah, I'd echo that.
Matt, got another question?
A lot more trivial. Just about the way two of you guys pronounce the team from Exeter and Waikato.
For anyone that hasn't heard it, we always think this, when people just tune in like and start listening last month, and didn't hear the origin of us saying Chiefs, not Chiefs. I know they'll think they must get really infuriated. Why did I say it wrong?
We do every now and again get a Twitter message saying, "Why on earth are you pronouncing Chiefs?"
Yes. So my point is, because you talked about it once, and you said that it's thief and thieves, which makes sense. But the Chiefs isn't spelt like that. It's spelt with an F.
Have you ever seen my Twitter?
No, I don't. and last,
just check it out.
Last point. If someone is sort of religious, they hold religious beliefs.
Oh. Mm. Ooh. So, well,
no,
I'd say check out my Twitter
right.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Apologies.
Our time is very nearly up, and we don't want to miss anthems and the start of the game, of course. So any more, Freddie Moore? Oh, we've got a few. We'll try and get around as many as we can. Quick fire, thank you.
So as a Tigers fan, I'm obviously delighted the amount of players that we have in the England squad. But would you say everyone's there purely on merit, or would you say the historical nature of a club gets people selected more often than the pure
that's
ability.
That's a great question, actually.
No, it is a good question. Well, no, it is a good question, but I think it's a very simple one to answer. You may disagree. No, of course it's on merit.
Is it?
We live in Manchester, and we're forever hearing up there the unfashionable clubs, they're not being picked. It's rubbish.
No, it's not.
Rubbish. These coaches.
It's absolutely not rubbish.
These coaches. We were talking about Joe Schmidt picking players who are eligible, even as soon as they qualify on residency, as he should, because that's the rules, and his job is to win games, and job is on the line if he doesn't.
Those England halfbacks led Leicester, right, to second bottom in the league.
George Ford, top point scorer in the league, in a terrible team.
Let's just say George Ford is really, really good, which he is. He's obviously been carrying Ben Youngs then, because they came second bottom in the league.
So JB's saying George Ford shouldn't be there on merit, and said earlier he would pick him to start above Owen Farrell.
How dare you? How dare you, sir?
Right.
If he was Irish, he'd be not.
Do you disagree with what I said, Phil?
No, I agree with your point.
Right, another question then. Gentleman in the Saracens jersey.
We talked, understandably, a lot about the World Cup, but allegedly there's a Premiership starting fairly soon. Ooh. So who do you think, which team is going to be the surprise package in the coming season?
Ooh. It's a good question. And I think this season, World Cup years are, they're more defined by who's missing from squads for big part of the season. So it'll be interesting to see. I think someone like Worcester could. I'm not saying they're going to be top four or anything like that. I think they will.
It's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah, it's relative performance. So relative to where they finished last year, I think Worcester could be placed. I mean, relative to where they finished last year, you'd hope Leicester Tigers will improve things.
JB, why don't you give your answer in two words?
I'm not going to say Sale Sharks.
Well,
I'm not.
I am.
I'm not.
I think Sale Sharks.
Well, frankly, it wouldn't be a surprise, would it? I'm going to echo Phil's point on this. I was actually thinking Worcester. I think last year, the way that they revamped their coaching staff was absolutely great. I think, what's the boy's name? Rory something, the head coach. Anyway, very, very good.
Duncan.
Rory Duncan. Thank you very much. And they don't lose too many players for the World Cup. I think that they will do pretty well. They'll do a lot better than they did last year. So I'll go Worcester.
All right. I think if it's very quick, we've got time for one more. Quickly. We don't want to miss the game, do we?
I haven't fact-checked this, so sorry if it's wrong, but do you think that this could be the first World Cup where we see a team win the World Cup having lost their first group game?
I know exactly what you mean.
That's a great shout.
Yes, I think it absolutely is possible.
Definitely. It is possible, and it's in my mind, it's almost a coin toss. It's a 50-50. So I think
you're talking about that first weekend, Saturday game.
I think that first game, South Africa, New Zealand, will probably most likely be the final game, and I think both of them will be a coin toss. So yes, you could very easily get that.
That's a great question to finish on. So I just want to say for making the effort, whatever podcast you've been listening to, it's brilliant to get a bunch of people that love rugby together just before a World Cup, and we've got a couple of months of carnival atmosphere. Make sure you subscribe to every single podcast that's been here today and others that aren't.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Yeah, all the ones you like.
Pilot episodes.
Pilot episodes is a great podcast.
But thank you very much. We'll be at the bar. We'll be around all day. We'll stick around for Will. Then we'll get some Negronis somewhere in Twickenham. So thank you very much for listening, and let the boys play.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, good.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.